Chapter 11. Sydney Carton's Secret Plan. Sydney Carton was also in Paris. He wanted to help Charles and the Manettes. He went to the wine shop and found John Barsad, the spy. Carton took Barsad to Mr. Lorry's for a game of cards. While they played, Carton said, "Barsad, I know you're a spy and a traitor to England. You support the revolution, and I know that you have got the keys to the prison."
"So what?" Barsad said.
"So I'll denounce you in England if you don't help me," Carton said.
"I can't help anyone escape from the prison," Barsad said.
"I know," Carton said. "But can you enter and leave the prison whenever you like?"
"Certainly," Barsad said. "Why do you want to know?"
"Speak to me in private," Carton said. "I have got a secret plan."
The two men spoke for some time later. Then Carton left and walked the streets of Paris alone. He stopped for a drink at the wine shop. Then he went to the chemist's and bought two kinds of sleeping powder.
"Don't mix them," the chemist said. "It's very dangerous."
"I know," Carton said.
He kept walking, as he knew he would not be able to sleep. He thought about his lonely life. How had he lost his way?
Sydney Carton crossed a bridge over the River Seine and walked along the quiet streets. He remembered a prayer from his childhood. "I am the resurrection and the life," says the Lord. "Whoever believes in me shall never die."
The sun rose over the river, and a boat sailed by. Carton whispered the prayer again. "I am the resurrection and the life."
Once again, Charles Darnay stood before the tribunal. Once again, Lucy and her father watched nervously. And once again, the Defarges were there. But this time, it was different. The crowd that admired him yesterday might want to kill him today. A judge said, "Three people have openly denounced Charles Evrémonde Darnay."
"Who are they?"
another judge asked.
"The first is Ernest Defarge, wine seller from Saint-Antoine. The second is his wife, Thérèse Defarge."
"And who is the third?"
The judge paused.
"The third is the doctor, Monsieur Alexander Manette."
The crowd roared. They couldn't believe it. Dr. Manette was pale and trembling. He couldn't believe it himself.
"That's a lie," he shouted. "I would never accuse my daughter's husband. She is the most important thing in the world to me."
The judge rang his bell.
"If France demands that you sacrifice your daughter, you will sacrifice her. Now be quiet."
The doctor sat down, trembling, and the crowd whispered. Suddenly, the judge called Monsieur Defarge.
"Monsieur Defarge," the judge said, "did you help storm the Bastille?"
"I did," Defarge said.
"How do you know the doctor?"
the judge asked. Defarge said,
"I worked for him as a young man, and I knew that he had been a prisoner in 105 North Tower. So I went there during the riot and searched the whole room."
"Tell us," the judge said. "What did you find when you stormed the Bastille?"
"I found these papers, hidden deep in the wall of the doctor's cell," Defarge said, pulling an old letter from his pocket.
The judge said,
"Read it aloud."
The doctor stared at Monsieur Defarge
with disbelief. Madame Defarge stared at Charles Darnay with hate, and Charles Darnay stared at his wife with love. The crowd was silent as Defarge read the letter.
"The year is 1767, and I, Dr. Alexander Manette, am now a prisoner in the Bastille. I am slowly losing my mind. Perhaps I shall never see my wife or my baby girl again. That is why I must write this letter to tell my story. I will hide it in my prison cell. Maybe one day somebody will find it." One night in 1757, I was walking by the River Seine when a carriage stopped next to me and two armed aristocrats demanded that I get inside. They needed a doctor, so I could not refuse. They drove me to a house in the countryside. They had tied up a beautiful young woman there. The woman, Marie, had lost her mind and kept screaming, "My husband, my father, my brother." I met Marie's brother, a boy of around 17, called Pierre. He was dying of a sword wound. I tried to help him, but his condition was too serious for help. Before he died, Pierre told me that the two aristocrats had taken Marie after first cruelly killing her husband. Pierre had tried to protect his sister, and they had stabbed him violently. Their elderly father died of a heart attack at this terrible scene. Only their younger sister, Thérèse, had escaped before the men could take her too. Pierre died, and a few days later, his poor sister died too. A few days later, an elegant woman came to visit. She was the wife and sister of the two aristocrats, and she had a young son named Charles. I asked the woman her name. She said it was Sylvie Evremonde. She cried when I told her that Marie was dead. She was terribly sorry for poor Marie and her brother. Then I was arrested and thrown in this jail. The aristocrats did not want me to tell anybody about their crime against this family. I must stop writing this letter. If the prison guards catch me, they will kill me. One day, the crimes of the Evremonde men will be punished. I, Alexander Manette, denounce these men to heaven and earth. A terrible sound arose in the crowd. The people were furious. The jury voted unanimously. Charles Evremonde Darnay must be put to death in 24 hours. Lucy begged to give her husband one last embrace.
"Farewell, my darling," Charles said. "Don't suffer for me. Bless our child."
The doctor tried to fall to his knees. "No," Charles cried. "You struggled hard to keep me alive." The poor old doctor cried with anguish. Sydney Carton took Lucy home and told Miss Pross to let her sleep. Little Lucy said,
"Mr. Carton, can't you help my mother and save my father?"
Carton gave the child a kiss and remembered his promise to Lucy Manette before her marriage to Charles. "Miss Manette, I would do anything for you and for anyone dear to you." Then Carton said, "Do not give up, Dr. Manette. Try to stop the guillotine. There isn't much hope, but you must try." But Sydney Carton knew one thing that the others did not. The younger sister of the murdered Marie and Pierre was Thérèse Defarge. And now she wanted revenge. Carton pulled Mr. Lorry aside. He whispered, "There is no hope. Poor Charles will surely die this time. You must get the family out of here. They must leave Paris tomorrow, before the guillotine. You must save them all before they too are arrested." "But how?" Lorry asked. "Prepare to leave for England immediately. I'm sure Lucy will not want to go. She would rather die with Charles. But tell her that she must save the child and her father."
"When should we leave?" Lorry asked.
"Save a place for me in the carriage," Carton said. "When I arrive, be ready to leave." Then Sidney Carton hurried out of the door. Alone outside the house, he looked up at the light in Lucy's room. He whispered, "Goodbye." His plan must succeed.